This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Last year, Michigan lawmakers approved reforms to what is known as civil asset forfeiture, where property is seized from criminal suspects. That was among the priorities of the U.S. Justice Action Network, a bipartisan group which is working in several states, including Michigan, on criminal justice reform. Holly Harris is the executive director of the U.S. Justice Action Network, as well as Fix Forfeiture. Holly Harris, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Let's talk a little bit first about civil asset forfeiture. There's some other issues which your group is working on, but this is one in Michigan which did get to Governor Rick Snyder's desk, and he signed it into law. How important is this in terms of the overall picture of criminal justice reform?
It was a great step forward. The package of bills brought some much-needed transparency to this process. Of course, civil asset forfeiture is a program that is largely operated in secret. So this brought some much-needed transparency to the process. It also added some due process protections for property owners. And it was the passage of this legislation was remarkable for another reason, too. We actually got buy-in from law enforcement. The Michigan Association of Police Organizations, MAPO, endorsed this package of bills. So did the Attorney General. You know, typically in states where we work on civil asset forfeiture reform, you know, law enforcement is reluctant to come to the table. So this was really a groundbreaking moment for civil asset forfeiture reform.
The news release from the U.S. Justice Action Network, or your report for the year on several states, including Michigan, says that this piece of legislation laid the groundwork to seek and obtain further asset forfeiture reforms. So what else needs to be done in Michigan specifically on that issue?
Ultimately, the process needs to be pushed post-conviction. In other words, no individual should have his or her property forfeited unless that person has been convicted of a crime. Michigan has not gone that far yet. Again, the package was really more about providing data to legislators. We expect legislators to consider data and consider information before they cast a vote on a bill. And I think what we did in Michigan in 2015 lays the groundwork for the data that these legislators will need to ultimately, you know, cast a vote to push the civil asset forfeiture process post-conviction.
The House passed a bill for what is known as presumptive parole for low-risk offenders. Explain how this works.
So presumptive parole has become controversial, but it's really not a controversial policy. Basically, the individual who is behind bars is presumptively paroled at 100% of his minimum sentence. But the parole board, the burden would be on the parole board to show a compelling reason why that individual shouldn't be paroled. So, you know, ultimately the discretion, you know, is with the parole board. It became controversial, and there was a lot of political rhetoric that was inserted into that conversation. Some of it was not based in fact, but I'm very hopeful that the Senate is going to take a look at criminal justice reform in Michigan in a more comprehensive way. And I think that will allow, you know, these types of policies to move forward, you know, not in a piecemeal fashion, which, you know, presumptive parole really, you know, was a piecemeal piece of legislation, but it will be a more comprehensive package that is introduced in 2016. And hopefully that will enable it to get to the governor's desk.
But do you ever have fears when people start talking about doing this in a comprehensive fashion, that may mean that everything's rolled into one big package and it's either all or nothing, as opposed to maybe if you do it piecemeal, you could get some components that you like, even if you don't get some others that you would have liked to have seen passed?
I don't have the concern on that, and here's why. Momentum is at a zenith for criminal justice reform. We actually put a poll in the field in Michigan, and, you know, I was hopeful we would just have a bare majority of Michiganders who were, you know, supportive of these reforms. But these reforms just pulled out the roof. And, I mean, it was, you know, across the spectrum on overcriminalization, on civil asset forfeiture reform, you know, on reentry issues, expungement. You know, Chairman Jones is going to be introducing a clean slate bill this year. So I think that the will of the people will really push comprehensive reform across the finish line and, again, get it to the governor's desk.
There was a story in the New York Times this week that you're quoted in about reform efforts in Congress, and there's concerns over backlash and people looking back at 1988 and the famous Willie Horton ad used against Michael Dukakis. I'm wondering if there are still politicians who think that this is the right thing to do. They may see these polling numbers, but maybe think that those polling numbers are not firm if, for instance, somebody does get out of prison under one of these programs and does something that, you know, commits another crime or worse yet, a violent crime.
You know, I think we're in a different time in this country now. And, you know, I'd love to be able to say it's organizations like ours that have, you know, brought these issues to the forefront and made them, you know, more popular. But I think it's because one in three American adults now has a criminal record. We've just gone too far in this country in, you know, over-criminalizing, you know, our system. Too many people are in prison and we're not getting the public safety return that we deserve. I think people are well-educated on these issues because, you know, everybody now, every single American family is now impacted by the criminal justice system. You know, whether you have a friend or a family member who suffers with addiction and, you know, continues to, you know, reoffend and go back to prison, or if you're just an everyday taxpayer who's tired of, you know, footing the bill, you know, for these ridiculous incarceration costs, and we're not getting, again, not getting the public safety return that we deserve. So, you know, again, I think we're in a different time. I think people are well educated on these issues, and our polling shows that. And I think that's what's going to, you know, ultimately, you know, push these reforms to the president's desk. And I will tell you, and I mentioned this in the Times piece, you know, for politicians who are concerned about casting votes for criminal justice reform, I would encourage them to take a look at our polling. We've now polled in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Louisiana. We'll have lots more polls in the field in 2016. And the polling is consistent. It's broad support across the political spectrum, conservatives, progressives, independents, you know, across the board. These issues consistently poll in the 80s. So if I'm a politician, I'd be concerned about not voting for these reforms.
If low-risk offenders are released from prison normally at the time that their minimum sentence is up under presumptive parole, and if there are more nonviolent offenders not being incarcerated in the first place, which is another goal of your organization, would that help address at least some of the racial disparities which we see in the prison population?
We're hopeful that that will, you know, address that issue. We see racial disparities, but I will tell you another issue that's rarely talked about is the spike in women incarcerated. I mean, women are the fastest growing segment of the prison population, and that's a deep concern. And the vast majority of the women who are incarcerated for low-level offenses, often drug offenses. And women who are incarcerated for violent offenses very often committed violence against individuals that they alleged abused them. So that's a concern for our organization as well.
Michigan is not the only state where you are working on reforms. A couple of neighboring states, Ohio and Pennsylvania, are also places where you have been trying to enact new legislation. How does Michigan compare to other states where the U.S. Justice Action Network is trying to bring about criminal justice reform?
Well, Michigan is a great state to work, and the reason why is because you all have so many champions of criminal justice reform in positions of power. You've got Chairman Jones, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who's, you know, very, and also a 30-year veteran of law enforcement, who's supportive of these reforms. Your governor, Rick Snyder, gave an address in Detroit on the need for more rehabilitation services for drug addiction, and that got national press. So you have very strong champions in positions of power in Michigan, and these individuals identify as conservatives. So I think, you know, Michigan is in a unique position to capitalize on the momentum for reform.
As you know, I'm sure all our listeners are fully aware by now, 2016 is an election year. We're going to elect a new president. Of course, the entire U.S. House is up, and then a third of the Senate. And then, of course, there's the races all over the country for state legislature, et cetera. Can an election year make it any more complicated politically to get criminal justice reform measures through Congress or a state legislature?
Well, politics always complicates things. But again, I will say that these issues in this day and in this time are not only, you know, a reform is not only makes for good policy, because we have data now that shows that the reforms that we push with our organization, you know, save money and make us safer. But this makes for great politics. Again, I'll point to our polling that shows, you know, the vast majority of the individuals that we've polled in our target states, and we'll be, you know, adding or tripling our states, you know, next year. Vast majority of individuals support these reforms. So if I'm a politician and I'm running in 2016, I support criminal justice reform.
There was a post at BuzzFeed from the U.S. Justice Action Network about five questions asked in the presidential debate, which were, I guess you could call them silly or wasted questions, and compared with others that your organization said should have been asked. Do you think that this issue is getting enough traction or debate or discussion leading up to when we do vote, beginning in the primaries and then in the November general election?
I have to hand it to the media. There's been a lot of coverage of these issues. It's been very good, very accurate coverage that includes the data that supports these reforms. Our frustration is, you know, in a format like a debate where you have, you know, a short period of time to, you know, ask questions of these candidates, it's just incredibly sad and wasteful when, for example, the moderators go to a question, you know, such as what app do you use or what's your greatest weakness? I mean, these individuals are running, you know, for the position of the most powerful individual in the world, you know, the leader of the most powerful country in the world. And we're asking them, what's your greatest weakness? You know, I would urge moderators or individuals who have these opportunities to ask questions of these individuals. I mean, look, criminal justice reform is important, but where do these candidates stand on, you know, our healthcare system, on national security? You know, obviously, you know, there are issues of imports, and let's not waste time asking silly questions of these individuals who are running for this, you know, incredibly important job.
Overall, do you think criminal justice reform is moved up to the point that it is on the radar of, you know, if not the top three issues, maybe the top 10 issues that are going to come up in just sort of, you know, weekly news coverage or in an interview with a candidate if someone gets, you know, 20 minutes with them?
There's no question. And of course, I think the reason why is because this is the one area where we'll see progress this year, because these issues have bipartisan support. And I wouldn't even call it bipartisan support anymore. I mean, you know, the coalition in support of these reforms is so broad. It includes faith-based organizations, business groups, you know, chambers across the country. Small business organizations are supportive of these reforms. You know, just across the board, I think there is a recognition that our system is broken. And in fact, all the candidates now have admitted there are problems with our criminal justice system. They may all have, you know, different sort of nuanced views on how to fix the system, but everybody agrees the system's broken. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And I do believe criminal justice reform is the one area where we will see progress this year at the federal level.
Holly Harris, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Holly Harris is executive director of the U.S. Justice Action Network and Fix Forfeiture. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.